Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up! I'm gonna drag you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is ours to play. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm currently joined by my guest for this evening. He is a Texas indie worker who works a lot of hardcore matches out of Austin, Texas with ACW. And he is also a former tag team partner of my favorite wrestler, Leva Bates. And he has also been given the honor of being named after me when he went to the Landstorm Wrestling Academy by Lance Storm, which I do take exception to because I am a damn fine, handsome man, and this man is not. But, Jack, how are you doing today?
I'm okay. So, just to start off this conversation, like I was saying before we got in the air, I have this thing that I do where I have to go for a walk when I do podcast interviews. It's just a quirk of mine. But I've been really trying to make 2017 my year. So I've been busting my ass in the gym. And like today, for example, I did an arm workout, and then I did a CrossFit like cardio workout, then immediately did a aquatic aerobics type thing, and freaking dying right now. But like the need to go walking has trumped. So I am like an old man hobbling around right now.
That sounds like me when I leave UPS at night. I also am not feeling all that well. I actually went and saw the movie Logan today, and that was just an emotional roller coaster and just like emotionally draining. And yeah, dude. So, but I'm gonna try and get through this interview here. And
stuff. Hey, I believe in you.
So, Jack, I usually start. You know, when I have an interview, I usually start with the generic question, and I'm gonna start with you. Start that with this conversation with you is how did you decide to get into this crazy world of pro wrestling?
So, wrestling's kind of always been like in my family, but not in the typical way. Like, my mom was a huge wrestling fan. My dad was a huge wrestling fan. So growing up, I was born in Austin, but I was raised, like, the first couple of years of my life, I was raised in Seattle, Washington. So I have these vivid memories of us watching Monday Night Raw, and we would have the blankets sprawled out in the living room, and me and my brother would wrestle my dad. And, you know, fast forward to a couple of years later, we actually were adopted by my grandpa. He became our legal guardian. So he was more of the sports, baseball, golf, football kind of guy. So I kind of got away from wrestling for a little bit. But fast forward to sixth grade, I had a friend of mine named Bubba, as we called him, who a huge wrestling fan, like, and me and him were super close. So he would always, you know, they'd get the wrestling tickets, but his dad couldn't go. So my grandpa, myself, and him would go. And one show I remember in particular him taking me to, it was just a house show in Frank Erwin Center. But it was, the main event was Undertaker and Vader in a casket match. And then the match before that was Owen and Bret Hart versus Stone Cold and Mankind.
Oh, wow.
So it was, you know, it was an amazing show. And then, like, because all the kids in my class watch wrestling. Like, I remember we were the NWO Red and Black. And there were these other kids in my class that were the NWO Black and White. And they were the uncool kids because they liked Black and White. And I remember, like, there were six of us, but there were only five members at the time of the NWO Wolfpack. So me and this other guy had to play, goodness, what was that big basketball game called? Horse. We played Horse, and the winner got to be Macho Man. So I won and was Macho Man in our group. So I say all that because I wanted to be the cool kid. So I asked my mom if I could get the WWF pay-per-view. It was Fully Loaded 98. I believe the main event was Stone Cold and Undertaker versus Mankind and Kane for the tag team championship. And, you know, I talked to all the kids in my class, and I was just like, hey, guys, you know, I want to order this pay-per-view for my birthday. Do y'all want to come? Blah, blah, blah. And of course, the kids are like, yeah, we'll do it. So I tell my mom. My mom agrees. And lo and behold, I went to a Catholic school. So right there, you understand that the parents aren't going to let anybody come over on a Sunday night because it was a school night. But not just that. It was, you know, 7 p.m. till 10.
Yeah.
So the day of, everybody was kind of calling and going, hey, I'm sorry, it's, you know, we can't come over, it's a school night, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, in hindsight, I'm like, cool, I totally understand. But as a kid, I was crushed. So my mom, trying to make it the most memorable birthday ever, she got a blanket, and we kind of sprawled it out on the floor, picnic style. And she went to Taco Bell, I believe, and picked up, I don't know, just a bunch of tacos and cool stuff. And we just watched the pay-per-view, and it was that night that I fell in love with wrestling and have not looked back.
At what point and what age did you decide that you're going to go from just being a fan of pro wrestling to actually wanting to become a wrestler? And then how did you transition into deciding and finding Landstorm's Wrestling Academy?
So from that moment forward, I kind of always had said, this is what I want to do. I'd even, you know, backup options, but this is what I wanted to do. And, you know, my mom and grandpa and grandma, because I was primarily raised by my grandma and grandpa, and my mom was, you know, I don't want to demean her parental influence, but, you know, she had a say, if you will. But all three of them were basically like, no, you can't be a wrestler until you get a degree to fall back on. And talking to my grandpa nowadays, in his mind saying that, he was always like, well, I just assumed you'd go to college, find something else, and do that. But lo and behold, I had gotten a full ride to Texas State. So I, you know, did the years in college. And then I got offered a full ride to grad school. And so I did that. And then I got accepted into the PhD program at UT. But it's the UT PhD program. They're not going to offer you any money.
Yeah.
So at least they didn't offer me any. So I had always in the back of my head said if I ever paid for wrestling school, it was going to be wrestling. Or if I ever was going to pay for school, excuse me, it would be wrestling school. So I remember sitting down at dinner with my family. It was the night of my graduation from grad school. And looked at my grandma, looked at my grandpa, and let them know, hey, I won't be attending, you know, PhD. I will be pursuing wrestling. And my grandma did not talk to me for a week.
Oh, wow.
But here we are now. They're all super supportive. But to answer your second question, while I was at grad school, I was in Oklahoma and was watching the Christian Cage TNA biography. And in it, he talks about how he had paid for wrestling school via a scholarship. Because, you know, to justify it, he's like, well, they said, you know, scholarships for school. They didn't specify what school. So watching that, and I'm like, holy crap, sure as shit. Here comes a grant that I had gotten in the mail. So I immediately Googled wrestling school. And I stumbled across one in Oklahoma. It was Mid-South Wrestling Alliance. The trainer was Tom Jones.
Oh, I remember Tom Jones.
Oh, yeah. He was technically my very first trainer. A great guy. He actually gave me a pair of his boots that I still have to this day. But it was just kind of one of those, he was getting up there in age and he couldn't really see. I want to say he had a cataract. I can't honestly, if I said anything with confidence as to what it was that was going on with his eyes, I would probably be lying. So I don't want to throw out anything, but he definitely had some issues going on with his eyes. It was very much, I was kind of taught a couple of things and then boom, you're a wrestler. So fast forward to 2011, I was not happy with where I was in the business. I was 2 years in, and I was not happy. And so I started Googling wrestling schools, like premier wrestling schools, I think the actual search was. And I'd come down to two options. I was either going to move to Florida and train with the Dudley Boys, or I was going to go to the Storm Academy. And I don't know what it was about Lance. I think I went back and watched, and granted, this was before the network, so we're talking like I would go to FYE or I'd go to anywhere I could and just start renting VHSs, DVDs of, and buying even, just a couple of shows with the Dudley Boys and Lance Storm. And I just kind of went back and forth, and it's just watching Lance in the ring, I was like, that's who I want to train. Nothing against at all the Dudley Boys. It was just, you know, you're at the store and you're like, do I want to get Pepsi? Do I want to get Coke? I'm going with Pepsi.
Yeah, I guess Pepsi would be a great way to describe that store.
Yeah, just literally as I was saying that, I was like, that really fits him.
Right. So how did you contact Lance Storm? How long were you in? Did you like talk to him before you actually went? Because I know now there's like a waiting list to get on. All his classes are full for like up to a couple of years.
Wow.
At that point, because this is, you know, a while back, was it like a quick thing that you got under like the next semester, or how did that work? And then just talk about your time at the Lance Storm School, and did he ever once in your entire time there smile?
What was the last part of that question?
Did he ever in the entire time you were going there smile?
That's what I thought you said. That's awesome. Man, I can't remember exactly when I messaged him. I want to say, well, it was definitely by visiting the website. He has his website. And you can contact him from his email. And he's pretty good about, you know, getting back to you eventually. Maybe not right away, but I just basically gave him my credentials. It wasn't anything at that time. But I just said, this is who I am. I really am, you know, would love to further my education in wrestling, blah, blah, blah. And we had, he had given me his date, and I went January of 2012. I think it fit with my time. It was, I had a job. I was waiting tables at Applebee's. So I was, you know, it was enough time to let them know, hey, I'm leaving for 3 months. Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much, I mean, pretty straightforward. Just emailed him. We went back and forth. I sent my deposit, and the rest is history.
Now you're a Texas boy.
Yeah.
What semester did you go to?
In January.
Okay, so let's talk about how much of a culture shock, or maybe not a culture shock, but a weather shock that would be, because, you know, you're just up the road from me in Austin. So you know what it's like to handle 100-degree weather. What's it like to handle minus, like, 0-degree weather up in Calgary?
First off, it's like 65 degrees right now in Texas, and I'm dying. So that tells you a little bit about the Texas vibe of weather. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me give you a little backstory before I tell you what I felt about the weather. So we get there, and obviously it's freezing. It's January, but it's not, like, snowing. It's not blizzarding. It's not doing anything. It's just cold. So I'm like, okay, that's really weird. And even Lance was like, yeah, this is the warmest winter we've ever had in Calgary. Well, maybe not ever, but in, you know, a good chunk of time.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, whatever. So we map it out because my roommate, now this is the cool thing about the storm house. It's like a 5-bedroom house. But we were a part of the smallest class. Like, I believe the initial class was 6 guys, and only 2 of us, myself and Steve Bird out of London, England, were the ones in the house. So we had a 2-bedroom house, or a 5-bedroom house to ourselves. We hit it right off the bat. Like, we're talking horror movies, we're talking wrestling, obviously, bodybuilding. So we hit it off, and he's just like, yeah, mate, I was basically thinking about walking to the wrestling school every day, get my cardio in. And here's me being all stupid, like, oh, yeah, well, it's not actually that bad, you know, blah, 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 I'll absolutely. And I say that because my grandpa had offered me a deal. He said, here is set amount of money. You can either keep it for yourself, or I will buy you a bus pass for 3 months. Your call. And I said, hey, I'm going to go ahead and just keep the money. I don't think we need the bus pass. Literally the next day, when we decide to walk to school, there comes the Calgary weather. I'm talking, it was so cold that I teared up, and then those tears froze. So as I'm walking to the academy, I'm sitting there crinkling my eyelashes, just trying to not have them freeze together.
Wow.
So yeah, it was crazy.
I assume you survived the cold. Now, what was it actually like going to Landstorm? Because like you say, you went to at the Tom Jones School. Basically, you could just say you learned a few basics, and that was probably it. Now you're going to a school with one of the best workers in the world, and someone who, if you know Lance Storm, you know he's pretty much a perfectionist and, you know, real strict. How was he in the training? What was the training like? And just tell us anything you can about being an actual student at the school.
I mean, it's like going to community college and just being like, hey, we're going to give you this little bit of information, blah, blah, blah. And then them going, oh, by the way, now you're going to go to Harvard. Good luck. And the amount of information that man has is incredible. Like, yeah, I mean, anything I would say to explain him would be doing him no justice. The man is a pure professional. He's my wrestling dad. Let me put it to you this way, to give you a little taste of how the academy is. When I went to the academy, I weighed 245 pounds. When I got back to Texas, I weighed 205.
Wow.
And literally, all I had there was a strict diet because my roommate was a bodybuilder. And I think the most intense thing we had was pre-workout. So, yeah, that's just, granted, you know, body getting used to the cold, walking there and back. But, yeah, no, Storm's awesome. Like,
Now you had been in the business for about 2 years, and you said it was a small class. Of the other five guys, did any of them have any experience, or were they coming in cold? And basically, that was, you know, their introduction to wrestling.
And one of the guys had actually been in the session prior to us. So he had already done a session with Lance. I think I was the only other one that had experience. Everybody else was a fresh baby.
And how much does that do you feel that helped you? Or, how prepared were you for the, you know, like you said, you lost 40 pounds. I'm sure that was some rigorous training you guys were doing. How prepared were you for it at that time?
I mean, answer that question, honestly, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't. And I wasn't. I wish I could say that I had, you know, busted my ass in the gym and gotten ready for it. But the truth of the matter was I didn't. I just worked and lifted when I could. But I didn't. Because the deal was my grandpa ended up buying me he had paid for the school, essentially. Paid for the school and the housing. And that was my Christmas gift. So he said, the minute he told me that he was doing that, he goes, everything you save up is what, so, yeah, I picked up as many doubles as possible and was not as prepared as I would have liked to have been, is what I guess I'm trying to allude to.
Okay.
But man, it was awesome just getting to train 5 days a week for 3 months with Lance. You get to wrestle him. And to go back to an earlier question, I did see old Lanston Storm. I did see him smile a couple of times. My favorite Lance story of all time is I would constantly be like, that's what she said, that's what she said. Like, that was my thing in class. I loved it. And you could tell every so often that there was just like, you know, Lance was trying to be serious. And I'm just like, I want to say it. And I'd kind of say it under my breath, and he'd give me that look. There was one day, it was a tag match, and Lance was working the heat on, I want to say, on Steve. And I said something, like just trying, you know, in character, trying to get him pumped up. And Lance looks at me and goes, that's what she said. And I jumped off the apron and ran outside and around the building and came back in still with my hands in the air screaming yes.
That sounds pretty funny.
It was the greatest moment in my wrestling career.
Yeah, Lance is actually, you know, I've met Lance and hung out with him a few times, and he is very serious, but he's also very funny. The thing is, when he's being funny, he's still very serious in a way. So it makes it funnier, and you know, if you know what I mean. And, Now how did the San Antonio thing come about for you? Because
it was literally just one day. He just goes, huh, you look like this guy I know, Ed from San Antonio. Good, that's your name. And no exaggeration, the rest of the session, I was either Ed, I was Edward, I was Eddie, I was Eduardo. It was always one of those. He never referred to me as anything other than that.
And in your mind, what are you thinking? Like, who the hell is that person?
Yeah, I really was. It was like, keep in mind, like, I was still a baby in the business. I didn't really know much about podcasts because I'm really technologically stupid. So I didn't really know much about podcasts at the time. And so, I just remember, I followed you, and we followed each other on Twitter because of that. And then I remember it was the weekend of WrestleMania 30 when we finally met. And I, in the back of my head, I was just kind of like, all right, Lance, well done. Yeah, okay.
Uh-huh.
And I absolutely said that you look better than me. I give you my word to all the ladies out there listening.
Well, you know, like I said before, I am a damn fine, handsome man, so. But yeah, that was pretty cool. We actually met for the first time at the Shimmer Show in New Orleans, where you were selling pizza to help out at the show.
It was. That is actually what got me my match on Dragon Gate USA that year. Like, it was cool because I ended up spending most of the weekend with Sal. And Sal was just like, you know, hey, man, we're going to go buy this. And you know, it's just kind of like, here are the prices. So, keep in mind, I am in the service industry. When I'm not wrestling, I work at restaurants. And I absolutely was just like, I just pulled an audible. And I was just like, because you get people that are buying, but not, and you buy people that are getting drinks and not chips. And you get people that are buying chips, but not pizza. So I was just like, screw it, for like, I think I said $8. You can get all three. Like, it was a package deal. So we start selling out of everything. And I was working in the concession booth with Sal's daughter. And she just put me over hardcore to him. So when it came time to that, one of the other guys was just like, hey, man, can I possibly get a match tonight? And he was just like, sure, you're working Jack. And I was just like, what? All right. Because luckily a worker always brings his gear.
Yeah, I've heard about that rule. But, yeah, so that's cool. So you got to work just, you know, by helping out, you ended up getting a shot on Dragon's Gate USA, which is basically, that's the forerunner to Evolve, pretty much.
Yeah, it used to be the big show, and Evolve was like the NXT, and then Evolve kind of took front and center.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Now, after you went to the school, obviously you came back home to Austin, because I know that's where you're currently living right now. How did you hook up with ACW, and did you try working any of the other, and I know there's more now, but I don't know how many were at the time, but like here in San Antonio, we have RCW. How did you hook up with ACW, and what other indie groups did you work with at the time?
So, it's actually a really interesting story. Before I went to the Storm Academy, I had sent off a, because this is back before, like, the YouTube videos were a big deal, I think. Again, keep what I say with a grain of, logically, I'm stupid. So, in my head, I'm like, hell yeah, I'm going to make a DVD. But I don't know how to do any of that stuff. So I got a former Texas worker, Wallace Gordon, to put it together. And years later, talking with Darren, I would find out that Wallace basically made my tryout DVD, or my, like, application DVD, if you will, pretty much just making him look like the star. So I never knew, because, I mean, I watched it, but again, in my head, I'm just like, I'm just being really hard on myself. This is probably really good because Wallace put it together. So, kiddos listening to this podcast, always double guess, always second guess yourself. Always fucking double check it. But, yeah, I, so they at least knew who I was. because I was showing up back in 2011, I dare say the end of 2010, I can't remember. But I would go every month knowing that I wasn't booked just in case. And I would go and I'd set up the ring and I'd watch the show. Like, Darren let me watch the show for free because I helped set up the ring. What was really interesting was I always wore the same Cookie Monster t-shirt. So this is back when Biss was a part of the company. And again, it wasn't like I, at that point I was like, okay, I went to the Storm Academy, blah, 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 blah. If they don't want me, they don't want me. Whatever. I'm still just going to go help out and everything. Lo and behold, because Biss and a couple of the other guys had been putting me over. Lo and behold, I get a text message screenshot from Biss. It was a message from Darren saying, can you confirm entry number 7, which was to the Lone Star Classic? And it said Cookie Monster shirt guy. They didn't put over my name. They didn't do anything like that. That's what it was. And I just kind of, you know, I saw the message and I'm like, what? That's what? And then I go, oh, shit. And I just, like, celebrated. So my debut into Anarchy was, I want to say it was May of 2012. And it was in the Lethal Lottery. I ended up wrestling. The Lethal Lottery, they randomly draw.
Uh-huh.
But it ended up being, so yeah, you have no idea what your match is till they draw it. It was myself, Barbie Hayden, and Rachel Summerlin against Bolt Brady, Carson, and Athena, who is now known by people as Ember Moon. So that was happening. I've always worked for a company as long as I've been here called Total Championship Wrestling. It used to be out of Austin. Now it's in Killeen. It's run by Mr. B. So that promotion will always hold a special place in my heart.
Oh, okay.
I did actually work for RCW for a little bit. I was there as Party Guy.
Party Guy.
Yeah, just like the Jackass gimmick. I wore trunks. I wore boots with no knee pads. And wore a tie. And I just danced around.
Was this around the time there was this other goofball named Steve McEnroe wrestling for that company?
Steve McEnroe and I never crossed paths.
Okay.
Steve McEnroe and Party Boy were two feathers in the wind that never crossed paths.
Okay. Yeah, it's been a long time since I've been to an RCW show, but I remember seeing Steve McEnroe when he was around. But going back to ACW, you know, how did you end up hooking, or how did the whole tag team with Leva Bates come about? I know she came in for like a couple queens of the Joshi tournament, basically.
The American Joshi tournament?
Yeah, the Joshi tournament. Did you meet her before this happened before the first one she was in?
Yes. So I had actually been, I was booked in Florida during my little 2012 post-storm, like, just sending out any way I could, emails and Facebooks and anything to get myself booked. And I got booked in Florida. And at this point, I had known Stu Young, and we had just kind of become buddies. So she had offered me a place to stay on her couch. And so I got to, you know, crash there, and she was like, oh, well, hey, we're going to go to Universal Studios. Are you down to go? I was like, hell yeah, because I'm from Texas. I'd never really been there, so I was all about it. Leva was the one that hooked us up with the discount tickets. So afterwards, like, we got to go watch her do, she's going to kill me. I can't remember what the show was.
Sinbad,
thank you. We went and watched her do Sinbad. And then she ended up meeting up with us afterwards, and we just all hung out. I think my favorite moment of that entire night was we all took an Incredible Hulk shot and then rode the Incredible Hulk. Worst decision I've ever made. But Leva and I became buddies that day. And found out that she was booked at ACW for Queen of Queens. I believe it was 2013. And so she had her match there. And then the next month, she was coming back to wrestle Athena at the show, at the believe it's, I'm terrible with names. I don't even know. But anyways, we were texting back and forth, and we had already kind of come up with the Mega Man powers, because she does cosplay, and I love Mega Man. So we were just like, blah, 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 this, this, and this, Mega Man powers. So she was like, yes, let's be a tag team. Darren was like, hey, can me and Leva be a tag team? And he goes, if she doesn't mind doing double duty, sure. Leva was cool with it. Mega Man powers are born.
Awesome.
And it was from Innocence to Insanity. Thank you. The show was Innocence to Insanity.
Now, how long did y'all actually team up? Because I know she came for, like, this is before I started, before I met her, before I started going to ACW. Because I had actually planned to go to that first Joshi tournament. But I had car trouble that Friday. I was actually about to start to do this podcast, but I was running around like an idiot in my car. My car broke down. I'm on the side of the road, and I'm having to call Dave Meltzer because I was going to interview Dave Meltzer, and I had to cancel the interview with Dave Meltzer because my car was broken, and I was unable to go to that show. I was like,
that sucks.
Because that's like right around the time where I became a Big Leva Big fan. But I know she actually stayed in Texas for a while, and I think, I don't know, did y'all take like a road trip to Arizona or something?
We did. We did the inaugural Slam U show. That was a fun little trip.
So how long did the tag team last?
I mean, until the end of 2016, so about 3 years.
About 3 years. Cool. And during that time, I never got to see it, because also this is before I started going to ACW, but you were involved in a very long-running feud with one of the main stars of ACW, which is Angel Blue. And I know this feud went on a long time, and I know she terrorized you for like many a month, but I also know that I've seen pictures that you where you beat the living shit out of this woman and bloodied her up pretty bad, and I know she cut off your beard also. Tell us about the Angel Blue feud, because I think Angel Blue is one of the most underrated women wrestlers. I think she's fantastic.
I will never allow this to get out on. I'm still going to say it anyway because I'm a rule breaker and I'm a bad boy. But yeah, Angel Blue is a diamond in the rough. She is so freaking talented. I hate her. I hope she dies 1,000 deaths.
She's a heat magnet. She gets some serious fucking heat in that place.
And, you know, it just goes to show you that's the thing is nowadays with wrestling fans, they want to like the bad guys because it's the cool thing to do. And Blue's so good at being a heel that you hate her. Like, you freaking hate her. You want her to die. Our feud actually started myself and one of my dearest friends, still to this day, Big Ricky Ramita. We were a tag team. And, you know, we were kind of climbing up the tag team ranks and got to wrestle. We wrestled the business, which was comprised of, at the time, it was comprised of Angel Blue, Thomas Shire, JoJo Bravo, and Chris True. And, man, those are some memorable matches. And we actually, I feuded with the business for about 2 years straight, turned Big Ricky on me, and he joined the business. And I'd gone to England to wrestle for Progress, actually. It was a great company out there right now.
Oh, cool.
And when I came back, I decided, screw this, I'm going to take the business on myself. And, you know, it was a sizable matchup between me versus Angel Blue and JoJo, and essentially a handicap match. And it was the day before, it was the 364th day of their title reign, so one day short of a year. And right as I was getting my ass whooped, a certain man by the name of Paul London came to my rescue. The match was made, and we won the tag team champions that night.
Oh, awesome.
And I think we wrestled them one more time at Guilty by Association 8, I believe. And, throughout that, before Paul and I won the tag titles, Blue and I had one of our most infamous matches, which was the one where she was trying to cut my beard and, just to defend myself, I may or may not have put the scissors up to her and busted her open pretty severely. Nice color on there, if you will. But she also, in turn, kicked me off the balcony that you so enjoy to stand by.
Yeah, that's definitely something else. But yeah, I've seen the photos of Angel Blue from that match, and it's like, I don't even know how to describe them. But I mean, she looks fucked up in those photos. So at least she got some revenge, some heat on her during that feud.
Yeah, I got a little bit of payback. She, her and Big Ricky teamed up at the end of the match and cost me the televised title. But I was that close to winning it. I was that close.
Now, ACW it's kind of known as a hardcore territory, kind of like the CZW of maybe Texas, I guess, is a way to describe it. And
I wouldn't really say it's hardcore.
Well,
I mean, it kind of breaks down to it.
The shows that I've gone to, other than the Joshis, have been very hardcore, like, oriented. Like, well, I guess one of them, that's basically what it was like the hardcore show of the year. So,
I
guess that's just
to Insanity?
Yeah. So I guess that's just how I interpret it, because that's what I've seen when I've gone.
We definitely have our share of hardcore. I mean,
and Darian's known as a hardcore wrestler.
Yeah, but that's the thing about Darian is he's so good. I got to wrestle him for the first time, one of several down the road, but very first time was in TCW. And, we just went out there and, it was just natural. Like, it was, the chemistry was there. Darian is so freaking underrated in his wrestling ability. It's kind of, I would put him on par with Masada in the sense that when you see them, you think death match, but damn, can they go when they want to.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, and one of the matches that I've seen you wrestle in the hardcore is you wrestled a Bear Board. Death match.
Bear Board's a death match against Barrett Brown.
Yeah, which I had no idea. So I remember seeing you before the match and asking you what the hell the match was, and you explained to me that they're taking off the mat and the cover and you guys are wrestling on the boards. So I immediately texted Lance Storm and told him that's what you were doing. And the reply that I got just said, fuck.
I love Papa Storm. He's the best.
Yeah, so you guys had this match, and you guys were smart about it. It's not like you took 1,000 bumps on the Bear Woods. You actually kept it. I think there was maybe a total of 2, maybe 3, and maybe it was the finish was like really the one that
was
probably
the
worst.
I think the only time I bumped on the Bear Boards was the finish.
Yeah.
And Barrett took a German at the somewhat near the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, and then
kind of remember, he took the German, rolled out, and we honestly kept most of the match outside.
Yeah, I think the match even was a little shorter than it was supposed to, because I remember his arm was just, like, covered in blood. I think he had cut himself on barbed wire, like, setting up stuff
before
the show or something.
They were getting the barbed wire set up for the main event, which was a triple threat barbed wire death match between Darian Masada and Scott Summers.
Yeah.
And he just walked right by and I think I got an artery or something.
Oh man, yeah, because he was he looked like he was a serial killer or Dexter or something like from the elbow down and stuff.
Yeah,
and I'll go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say that was the I remember that being the payoff for our feud, and we were just both like, yeah, that makes sense.
I just remember after the match, I texted Lance back and I told him about how, oh, well, it was a lot safer. They only took like a couple bumps and so on, and the response was, now I'm not saying verbatim, but basically the text was like, at least he's not as dumb as he looks or something like that.
Fucker.
He was upset that you were not wearing gear. I remember that because I sent him a picture of us and he was
I was wearing gear.
Or maybe it was before. It might have been the Joshi tournament then.
Probably. That was when we had our street fight, though, to be fair.
Yeah.
The show before, we had had a street fight. And so I was always under the influence of street fights. You wear street clothes.
Yeah, that's probably what it was, because I remember the next show, I guess maybe it was the Insanity one where we took a photo and I sent it to him. Or no, I took a photo of you and sent it to him, and he was happy that you actually had gear on. I remember that.
That's awesome. I love hearing stories of Lance.
I'm sure he gets annoyed because whenever I go to a show in Austin, there's somebody from the school, so I'm always texting him about the match. Like at the Russell Circus, I've been texting him.
Oh,
about,
man. I wish you would have been at – there was a – there was one Shine show that had all of us. There was
Kellyanne was there.
Kellyanne was there. Rhea was there.
Chelsea was there, what? I think.
Yes, Chelsea and Rachel.
And yeah. Yeah, I watched that show live, and me and Lance were actually texting back and forth throughout the whole show.
I think my favorite moment of that night was getting a tweet where he was just like, we just had a Machismo Libre sighting. It's true. This show is sponsored by SWA. That was back when me and Lever were on good terms.
Yeah, that's actually when her and Mia were starting their feud that actually never had an ending or climax to it because Mia said fuck it and quit.
See, and that's proof right there that it's not me that did it, it's Leva, because she lost the Lucha Sisters, she ended the Mega Man Powers. Which one of these is not like the other?
Now, speaking of your breakup of your tag team with Leva, you know, that started on social media where you were just running her down basically, to break kayfabe here, you were actually supposed to have a match with Steve, but Steve was just unable to make the show that next day.
It's because I blew his tires out.
Yeah.
I blew his tires out.
You were like Bobby Jagger's taking out the sheep herders and Jonathan Boyd.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you guys ended up having a match. She made a surprise appearance at ACW. She had done the circus show the night before. So tell us about that match, because I don't know why. I should have seen it coming, but for some reason I didn't, and I was assaulted and almost sent to the hospital during that match by Leva Bates. I think I took a stinger splash. And
I mean, it's very much one of those, you know, that's why the wrestlers tell the fans to move out of the way, not because we want you to think that this is going to look cool, but for your protection. And I know that Leva, while small looking, is dense as shit. Like, she is so heavy and dense with muscle that you could have died at that moment. That's why I tried to bring her down and end her reign, because she assaults fans, and I'm not okay with that.
How do you feel the match went? Because it could have been tricky, because it had been raining before, and anyone who, if you're familiar with the Mohawk, the ring is outside,
you're actually outside, so the ring was kind of wet. Did that interfere with any of the spots? And I know you guys, I know she slipped on the steps going down and fell on her butt. That was already hurt from before. But how did you feel that match went and just everything on that? And it's kind of like it was kind of an ending to a story. You know, like I say, you started off as tag team partners, and basically you were having an I Quit match with your former partner. And how do you feel everything went, and what are your thoughts on that match?
I mean, I've known Leva for years. I've known her for years, and I've seen her work, and I've never not thought she was amazing. But, man, like, I gained so much respect for her when we had that match, because Leva, you know, and to be fair, in these last couple months, she's starting to finally get the respect and attention that, you know, she really does deserve. Like, shit, I was just as happy as you guys were when, you know, she got that. She was James Ellsworth before James Ellsworth was James Ellsworth.
Yeah. I mean,
she was enhancement talent, and she got super freaking over.
She turned a 30-second job into a year of, like,
yep.
You know, highlighting that an NXT takeover and being probably, like, just as much over as, like, you know, Finn Balor and the main people. And an incredible run just off of 30, you know, it was only supposed to be not even a 30-second match, and it turned into, like, a whole year. And, you know what I mean, a year that, you know, I mean, everybody knows Blue Pants. You see at, like, at a merch table at a convention or something, I mean, she's one of the, you know, most sought-out people. And not just by the fans. It's like all the wrestlers want to take photos with Blue Pants, basically, too.
I will – she'll always just be Leva, my friend. But, you know, there – I mean, you were with us that weekend. It was a very emotional weekend. It was a very – I'm trying to think what the PC way to describe this would be. It was, you know, heads weren't where they should have been. And we were able to channel that and have, I would like to think, one hell of a match. We were able to not only have an intergender match that people could watch, believe, and enjoy, but we had an I Quit match. So, but to answer your question, she's starting to get all this attention now, but I still feel like she's so underrated. And any success that she has henceforth, 100% deserved. She will always be one of my closest friends, though we don't speak every day. When we do, it's like we, you know, I saw her the day before, but she definitely, definitely is someone that deserves to be in everybody's locker room.
Yeah, she's awesome. I mean, she's, like I say, I've gotten to know her pretty well, basically because of you, pretty much. Because I just remember, because we're friends on Facebook also, and I remember seeing a post where you're talking about how you're going to wrestle at the Joshi show. And I remember just commenting something like, get Leva Bates booked on the show, because I knew you had two.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I'll buy you dinner. And then it was funny because you tagged her. That's all you did. The reply was you tagged her. So I saw it on my phone. And when you see, you know, I just saw like the update or the notification. So all I saw was Leva Mia Luna, which is like her Facebook, her like her shoot Facebook. But I didn't really know that. So I'm thinking, leave me alone. I thought you were telling me to fuck off, kind of, you know? Like, leave me alone. So then she responded, and all she did was tag Darian, I think. And then the next thing you know, Darian posted that done. And then the next thing you know, she's booked on the show. And then I ended up going to the show, and then I had met her briefly at a couple of Shimmer shows Mania weekend, but as far as, like, getting to hang out with her, you know, it was, like, the first time, and unfortunately, you weren't available to hang out at the end of the show, But, you know, that's where I got to meet her. And since then, you know, we've been super cool since and stuff. So it's like, you know, it's kind of, I guess I have to thank you for that, because you're kind of responsible for me and getting to know my favorite wrestler. And, you know, like,
I am happy that is what led to that beautiful friendship.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's pretty cool. So, and like one of the things, you know, you're talking about how she's kind of underrated. It's like, She's very popular, but there does seem to be like a small percent of people on Twitter or whatever who they don't think she's that great. And it's like, to me, it's like, well, first off, you don't think she's a great wrestler, but she is. She can hang with anybody as far as having a serious wrestling match if she wants to. But you don't get.
Well, we had an I Quit match,
yeah,
and there was no comedy.
Well, there was a little comedy in it, but it was like. But very serious. But like I say, people who don't think she's a good worker, they're stupid and they don't get the fucking gimmick, because a lot of the time she's playing a character and she's playing the character, bringing it to the ring, and she does do a lot of comedy in a lot of matches. So it's like people think, oh, she's not good. No, she's that good that she can either have a great wrestling match or she can be all comedy or whatever her character is and stuff. So it's like, yeah, I think she's. To like us, the people who don't like her, it's just they just don't get it. They're just not smart enough to understand her and the gimmick and stuff. But yeah, she's freaking awesome. We actually have about 2 minutes of live airfare, so I know we're going to go a couple minutes over, but I'm going to go ahead and start to wrap it up. So my last question is: I know you've been having a great year this year. You're going outside of Texas. I think you're going to go to Florida. And spend some time in Florida coming up. Tell us what's in the future for Jack Jameson.
Well, in the immediate future, I'll actually be in San Antonio. Actually, it's not San Antonio, it's Poteet. So I'll be defending my Central Texas Championship Wrestling Lone Star Heavyweight Championship. And then the next night, I've got TCW. And Killeen, Texas, where I'll be facing Mikey 13 for his heavyweight title. But, you know, just to kind of fast track towards that, I have Australia again. I'll be going for my second tour of Australia this April. So that's pretty cool. I've got some other international stuff in the works, which are new areas for me. I don't want to say anything just yet, because you never know until it's posted. But definitely got that in the works. I'll be in Mania. I'll be at the Mania weekend, in Florida. So I'll just be kind of periodically around there. But yeah, I mean, Australia is definitely the next big thing for me.
Awesome, and talk about, like, because I know you wrestled like Joey Ryan in Arizona, and like say you're branching out of Texas. Just how do you feel about your career right now? I mean, like it's your best
honestly,
year.
That's the crazy thing, Ed. That's the crazy thing. It's March 3rd, and it's already been the best year. Like, you've only seen me as a heel, but as a face, I've got this awesome new gimmick, and I'm biased, so yes, it's completely awesome. I'm the master of the wrist lock. I'm making the wrist lock great again. And it's been so cool. Like, if you Google, or if you YouTube, excuse me, Jack Jameson versus Gino Rivera, you can see just, the words can't do justice how much the fans are truly behind my wrist lock. It's so surreal. And the cool thing was, when I wrestled Joey, you know, he's got his U-pornplex. It was face-face, but I put the heat on him working his wrist, because I did not want to grab his penis. Unfortunately, I still grabbed his penis.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I guess you heard about it. Did you hear about what Leva was doing at the last circus show, where she was impersonating Joey Ryan and she came out as Joanna Ryan?
What's funny about that is I had actually sent her a box just going like, I think I had to work that night. I can't remember where I was wrestling. But I think I was flying back, and I was bored in the airport, so I messaged her, and I was just like, oh, hey, what'd you do tonight? And she was like, oh, I wrestled Scorpio Sky for the championship and beat him, and then quickly lost it to Joey. And she goes, but who's the real winner? And sent a picture of her her gimmick.
Yeah,
she it was very funny. I popped.
Yeah, it was awesome. She did. She basically did all the Joey spots. And if you know Joey Ryan's gimmick, it's all about him having a big cock. So
he's got a magical penis. We actually we had a spot in our match where I do I'll do the diving beard. So what I'll do is I'll hop on the second rope, walk the middle rope, and then do a diving beard. Not a headbutt, a diving beard. But he had turned in just the right angle where my beard met his cock, and it was unstoppable force beats unmovable object.
Well, who won?
We were at a draw.
Okay.
So, but we immediately got up into a punch-off, and he made the mistake of punching my beard and hurt his hand thusly. Because I have a beard of Samson.
You do have a pretty mighty beard. That's one thing we both have in common, is we both can grow some big-ass beards. Now, your beard got burnt off at the last tournament. So, yeah.
That's why I must inform people what a monster Leva Bates is. Negate everything I said about 5 minutes ago. Negate it. She's a monster. She's going to burn my beard.
Yeah.
I had no choice but to quit.
I was kind of hoping she was going to light it on fire. But
thankfully, it was rainy, so that did not happen. But the fire got close enough to my face that I was not having it.
Yeah.
That's my moneymaker.
Well, Jack, like I say, we've gone over the live feed, so we'll go ahead and in the shows. But I want to give you a chance to plug all your social media if you'd like, so go ahead and do that.
I would absolutely love to. Twitter and Instagram is @MachismoLibre. Pro Wrestling Tees is www.prowrestlingtees.com/MachismoLibre. You can find me on Facebook. It's under Jack Jameson. I get bored on road trips, so I actually respond to messages. It's YOLO, I guess. That's pretty much it, I think. If anybody wants to book me, my Gmail is machismolibre@gmail.com.
Now, I want to give you a chance, to just talk about anything that you'd like to add on your own, or any funny stories you feel, you want to throw in there before we let you go. So I'll give you that opportunity if you have anything.
I mean, first things first, to all the fans out there listening, thank you guys. Like, 2017 has already been the most incredible year of my life, and I owe it to each and every one of you. Like, I'm getting booked on shows that I never thought I would. I'm getting opportunities that I probably don't even deserve. So thank all of y'all. Couldn't do it without y'all. Obviously, shouts out to Lance Storm and Radiant Rain, my wrestling parents. Because of them, I am where I am today, and I love them. My older wrestling brothers, if you will, 7 out of Oklahoma, and Masada and Paul London, love them all. Funny stories. Let's think. I got a good one for you, being a Leva fan and all. So we were going to that road trip to Arizona, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And we had stopped by my mom's house just to, say hi, get some food. My mom, trying to save us money, had made us, like, God, I would dare say, like, 12 or 13 little meals. And they were all healthy. Like, it was, like, sautéed vegetables, grilled chicken. I can't even remember what else was in there. anyway, we made the mistake of driving to Arizona. So, you know, we're driving, get into the Arizona heat, but, you know, not thinking anything. We leave the food in the car because we have a show to do.
Yeah.
Ah, man, that smelled like shit. Oh, my God. It was the most foul smell ever. Like, oh, my God. I still to this day. On that same road trip, there is probably at the end of New Mexico, beginning of Arizona, or vice versa, into Arizona, beginning of New Mexico, whichever direction you're coming from, station that has like a Dairy Queen and some other stuff, but it's got this road attraction called The Thing, and they build it up the entire time, like, you know, it's kind of like, you know how the Buc-ee's signs are like, oh, you know, so many miles until Buc-ee's?
Yeah.
It's doing that. It's like 97 miles to The Thing. 68 miles and you can see what The Thing is. Come experience The Thing. 50 miles. So by this point, Leva and I are both just like, holy shit. At this point, we have to freaking see this. We must. So driving back from Arizona, we make time to go. We go in, and I believe it was 75 cents. It was 75 cents a ticket. We go in, and this place, Ed, looks straight out of a Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like, it looks like a sideshow. It's artifacts and memorabilia and stuff like that. And then you get to The Thing. I will not ruin it because other people must share their misfortune in seeing The Thing. But all I will tell you is Leva and I wanted our money back. I recently went back, and I took Amanda Rodriguez because we went and worked Arizona Wrestling Federation. And so, you know, same thing. We're driving by, and she goes, I need to see what The Thing is. And I was like, no, you don't. No, you don't. We get there because, you know, we're heading back because that's when they get you. And God damn it, they raised the price up to $1. And I did not want to go in. But Amanda Rodriguez really did. And I was just as pissed off. Oh, I hate The Thing. It's stupid. I want to punch it in its face. In fact, if you tweeted Leva and said, hey, Jack just wanted me to remind you about The Thing, her response will probably be, fuck The Thing.
I think I might do that as soon as we get off.
There is, I cannot remember where I posted it. It was on some social media that we had posted a picture of us flicking The Thing off.
I remember a photo. Well, it was actually a photo of her and Angel Blue throwing the finger. I guess that was that thing.
That was the same trip.
Yeah.
The Thing. I hate it. I want to kill it, even though it's already dead.
That's funny.
If I could speak to God right now, I would have one wish. It would be to resurrect The Thing so I could punch it in its face.
No, it seems like I have to see it. So if I ever, like, cause I go to Vegas a lot, so if I ever drive to Vegas, I'm going to have to see The Thing now just because of everything you're doing.
Please. Please do. It's the worst. I swear to you, if you go and check it out and the prices were raised, I'll be so angry.
It'd be funny because they'll probably still be doing this in 10 years and the price would probably be like $10 or something.
I better be dead by that point. I'll burn that place down.
That's fucking hilarious. But yeah, Jack. I want to thank you for taking the time out of your night to come on the show. I really appreciate it, and I want to wish you
Oh, I enjoyed
best.
It. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and if I don't see you anytime in Austin soon, I'll hopefully be seeing you WrestleMania weekend. And
yes, for sure.
Yeah, we're actually having a dinner.
you know, how I do everything for the Observer. So we're having like an Observer dinner.
Yeah.
So I'll give you the info for that. Hopefully you can swing by. We're going to hit up Texas Day Brazil down there.
Yeah. You hit me up and I'll bring some nice clothes. You might actually see my beard groomed and stuff.
Cool. And feel free to bring some friends if you want. Like, you know, you could bring Amanda Rodriguez. You can bring Sue Young, you know, any good looking women, you know, they're more than welcome. The, you know, hopefully.
I know I'm squeezing in a training session with Radiant Rain. I'm going to make it a point to go train with her in the rain. So I will maybe throw the invite out to her.
Feel free to. She's a very gorgeous woman. I actually had the chance to meet her, but I went to a Shine show. She was there at the beginning. And I'm actually kind of shy. Like, it's weird. Like, if I go to a show and there's a wrestler there that maybe I want to talk to, I'm kind of shy and don't. And then the second time that I see him, that's when I'm more, like, open up. So I saw Rain there, but I was too chicken shit to go talk to her. And by the end of the night, I was really proud, so I was ready. But then I don't think she was there anymore, so I was all, like, sad. But, yeah, she was great. She was awesome.
She is my wrestling mom. There's a, if I may, there's a quick story about her that I just popped. I was training with her, and this was after her car accident. And so, you know, it was a little serious here. It was a really serious wreck, but she was still, that's how much she loves this business. She was still training students. And I'd gained a little bit of weight back, if you couldn't tell. I know it's quite slimming, but you know. But the drill was something leapfrog. And as we're doing it, I just called bypass. She doesn't even let us finish the drill. She just goes, "What the fuck was that?" And I go, "Oh, well, I'm not really good at leapfrog." So I did a bypass. She goes, "Jump in the air and touch your toes now." And I was just like, "Oh, okay." And I did it. She goes, "Do the drill again. Do the leapfrog." So to speed up the story, like, I did the drill and I did the leapfrog. And this is a woman who, you know, had a serious, serious wreck.
To add on to that, I've seen pictures of her when it happened, like she posted, it looked like she was like Conan or like somebody with a giant sword. She had an incredibly sized puncture in her stomach. I mean,
yeah, it just goes to show you like how strong a woman she really is. Like,
yeah.
Like I love her to death. She, you know, I've said it time and time again. I put her on the same level that I put Lance Storm. Like, they're my parents.
Awesome.
So, but yeah, she from the chair, coaching from the sidelines, got me to do a leapfrog. And now, like, I mean, you see me, I'm kind of a bigger guy. I'm a heftier dude. And crowds pop for it. Crowds absolutely love seeing me do a leapfrog. And it's the most surreal thing ever.
That's funny. But cool. But I'll go ahead and let you get on with your night and let you end your walk because I know you're tired.
I am still out here circling around the apartment, to be honest.
So anyway, have a good night, Jack. And like I said, I appreciate you coming on. And like I say, hopefully I'll see you again soon. And we'll talk to all the listeners soon too. So everyone have a good night.
You guys have a good night. Later, bud.
Bye-bye.
Be the man! You gotta beat the man! You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's shit! Let's go hook him up!
Your
ass.
You take it all away.
I'm gonna dog you until I wear your Texas ass.
Hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.